Matt, we're here.
Where?
We're in Coventry for episode 36 of the Mission Darts podcast. And we're buzzing. I'm buzzing anyway. I'm back from Cyprus, mate. What a great time. What have you been doing? Well, I've been holidaying.
Working. Yeah, working. Okay. I did the Super Series. It's coming up to Champions Week now. We just did week 11. David Evans winning that one. A lot of people thought Steve Beaton was going to win that week, but he lost the finals 3-1 up, let it slip. So, interesting there. By the time we do the next one, we'll be into Champions Week there as well, which I'm coming back for. We're doing this now. You think I'm busy. This week's taking the mick. Done a week and a half of the Super Series.
Yeah.
I've come home for one day. Went to the toy fair. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm doing 3 days filming for Rate My Hockey. I fly to Las Vegas. I'm in Vegas till Tuesday. I land on Wednesday and I'm back at Portsmouth for Thursday for the end of Champions Week.
That's exciting because you're going to WrestleMania. And the thing is, you've just mentioned David Evans. Remember I told you all that boring stuff about I'd played darts and I qualified for a comp and all that? Dave Evans beat me on finals night. Mm. So maybe it was him beating me that's given him the boost to win Modus, do you think?
If
that's
not,
nothing to do with it.
Claim it anyway.
I'll claim it anyway, mate. I will. So, my holiday was great. It's your turn next. Yours is probably going to be more expensive than mine, which is a rarity.
Massively, yeah.
But I'm thinking Vegas. Nobody goes to Vegas and comes back with a load of money. You usually come back skint.
Yeah, I estimate it's going to be about 12 grand.
In total. Are you a gambler, though? Are you going to hit the table?
I'm taking my son with me as well, so I can't go in the casinos. But what it is like WrestleMania tickets, they were like $5,000.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to SmackDown, the Hall of Fame, Monday Night Raw, Titanic Exhibition, WWE World, get my merchandise. I want to go have lots of Mountain Dew. I'm going to go to a barbecue pit. We've loaded and stacked the week. I might go to the Undertaker show. I'll probably do a couple of £1,000 on merchandise. You know, I do like my merch, especially when it's like limited edition stuff only to the event of which you're going to, which is WrestleMania. So I'll be getting lots of WrestleMania merch. I probably shouldn't have gone to the toy fair on Sunday because, like I said, this is overall going to cost about £12,000.
Yeah.
And I went to the toy fair and, yes, I mean, the other thing was I had early sleep. I went there, probably a bit sleep deprived. I was miserable, but I bought maybe far too much stuff. I mean, I spent about £640.
I just bought a garden chair that costs that much, Matt. It's really not that much, mate. Do you know what I mean? These days. But, I mean, you say you were miserable, but you're not today. Because we're here filming a new series, mate. Series 4, can you believe it?
And what's really interesting about this, so Series 4 is going to come out like June, July.
Yeah.
Now, until then, we've got something quite similar, but also so very, very different.
Should we give them an insight, podcast listeners?
Tell them what it is. It's going to be on the main channel.
Yep.
And on the main channel, it's also going to be people's houses.
Yep.
People's garages.
Man caves.
Conversions. A coffee shop.
Yeah.
A hairdresser's.
Yeah.
We're going to go out into the UK and we're going to find darts in locations you wouldn't normally expect to find them.
So if you want, if you're on the main channel and you want your Rate My Hockey fix, but you're like, oh no, it's a couple of months till the next series is on. Trust me, this little mini series, you are not going to want to miss. You're not going to believe what some people have done to their houses, because we certainly couldn't believe it, could we? We were amazed.
It was incredible. There's going to be some great content coming up on YouTube. We've got loads of stuff that we've filmed and got in the bank. So I think we're going to go up another level on YouTube. But not only that, Andy, for our younger viewers, because I get it's quite a generational platform, myself and yourself have now taken over the Mission Tiki Toki channel.
I never thought a time would come when I would actually say that I'm involved with TikTok. My daughter thinks it's hilarious, right? She's 12. She would love to be on TikTok, by the way, but there's not a chance. She's not getting on there till she gets a bit older. But I did say, I think, in last week's that I was in Cyprus and somebody recognised me and she thought that was highly embarrassing. So when I told her that I'm now looking after, along with you, the Mission TikTok, well, that was it. She lost her mind. But we are. We are, and it'll be good. It'll be good.
So if anyone in here is on TikTok, on that platform, you like what we do, go drop a follow on the Mission Darts TikTok. You're going to see myself, you can see Andy, you can see our players on there, you can see challenges. It's a different style of content because we traditionally dabble in long-form content.
Yeah.
But when you go to a short form content, it's a different style. We can be creative in a different way. And that's what it does. It unlocks creative juices in a different way where with YouTube, you have to understand what you're going to watch before you watch it.
Mm.
Where with TikTok, you've just got to be, it's almost like an explosion. The way I sort of described it was TikTok's very similar to walking down the market street, where you walk down the market and you hear the guy go, potatoes, get your bowl of potatoes, pal, get your bowl of potatoes. And you go, oh, I didn't really want potatoes, but for a quid,
yeah.
I actually think I do need some potatoes. But if you walk into Tesco's, you'll probably walk past the potatoes because you go, I don't need potatoes today. I've come in here because I know I'm after carrots.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in just for carrots. But when I'm walking down here, oh, actually, but potatoes are power. I have some potatoes as well as my carrots.
Yes.
So
that's well explained, actually. Hmm. To our American viewers, though, can they get TikTok over there?
I believe so, yeah.
There was a time when I think the America-China thing was...
I'm not sure
about that. But... I've got a few topics. I've been sat on the sunbed thinking about, you know, stuff that I wanted to talk about.
And you haven't got any notes or written?
Oh no, I have. I've got them all written down here on this piece of paper. Here, you don't expect me to remember them, to you? Yeah, then there's extra stuff there.
I was just seeing what the back was, seeing if you revealed something. Yeah, no,
there's a question. I'll start with that as you brought it up.
Okay.
There's a question from Ivan Fletcher that's come through to YouTube at missiondarts.com, where you can send us an email with your questions, your suggestions, and comments, etc. And he said, do you think a darts manufacturer's four-a-side competition would work? E.g., four players from each darts company, i.e. Mission, against Target, against Red Dragon, against Winmow, against Harrows. Singles matches, double matches. If so, who would be the four Mission players? Now, obviously, we can't choose our pro players, so I don't know whether you get in or not. Do you get in as a content creator, but you're not really a player, are you, these days?
I haven't picked my darts up for 3 months.
Right, so you can get in as a content creator. I can get in as a content creator. Daryl Fitton can get in because he doesn't play anymore. I'm liking our first three. Would we win? Or has anybody else got lots of ex-players?
It's not even that. We've got a few players on the Challenge Tour, haven't we? Got some good Challenge Tour players.
Maybe they'd be classed as pros. I don't know. I think if we class it as people that aren't actively playing, which you and I aren't, Daryl doesn't really anymore. I know he does the World Series every now and again. And I think our fourth, I think we'd pick either Steve Reed, who's a county player, or Glenn Miller, who's our guy that looks after the machines and the printing. He's an ex-county player. We'd have a serious team there. Let us know in the comments if you know any of the other manufacturers that could beat that team. I don't think anybody could. So thanks for that, Ivan. I thought it was a really good question and why I printed it out and read it out. Now, I want to talk about Premier League, Matt. Why do we never talk about Rob Cross? I don't think he's ever come up in conversation. Is he that boring?
Not everyone can be a headline.
Hmm.
And sometimes people just exist and are excellent. They're elite.
Hmm.
But West Ham, great football club.
Nobody ever thought about it.
I tell you what, let's do this then. Let's do this, right? Let's write down the Premier League players. So we've got Luke Littler.
Yep.
MVG, joining at home on this one, by the way. This could be a great game.
Humphreys. Nathan.
Nath.
Cross.
Price.
Doby.
Bunting.
That was easy, wasn't it?
Right. What we're going to do is we are going to assign all these players,
yep,
a football team.
Oh,
so, for example, Luke Littler would be Man City. Yeah, they're not having the greatest year, but they are the big club in the UK. Even though they're not probably going to win the Premier League this year, they're still the top team, really, on reputation, value, etc.
Bunting is Leicester.
Leicester?
Wins the Premiership once and then disappears. He won the World Championship. He's won a couple of tournaments recently and then he disappears again. And then he comes back and wins and then he disappears.
I'll give you one there with Leicester, but I think a bit harsh on...
Well, we are filming Rate My Hockey, so I am being harsh, Andy.
Okay.
Who's your next one?
Michael van Gerwen is Man United. Once the glorious, unbeatable side, now quite vulnerable.
Wow. Well, then at Humphreys, he's going to have to be Liverpool. Because no matter what's thrown at him, he bounces back and wins again. You know, Liverpool will lose to Fulham and then they'll come back and beat City 5-0. They're kind of like, this season is just amazing, and that's Humphreys, isn't it?
I've got one. Nathan Aspinall is Brighton, because he's one of those people that get written off all the time but can burn the very best players, could win from anywhere. They could win 4-0, they could lose 4-0. You're never surprised. Nothing. They could beat Man City 3-0 tomorrow and you go, oh, Brighton won. Or they could lose 3-0 to Southampton and you go, oh, Brighton lost. Nothing's like, there's no real shock value either way round. So Nathan Aspinall is Brighton.
All right, then I'm going to go Rob Cross. Rob Cross is Nottingham Forest.
Oh, yeah, good shout.
Because they're right up there, but nobody's really talking about them.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, they're one of the best teams in the world at the moment. I think they're like third in the Premiership. Nobody cares. Mm. You know, and that's Rob Cross, isn't it? He's ex-world champion, multiple major winner. We never talk about him. He's just boring. He even had a decent walk-on song, and he changed that to something more boring.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, go with that. Okay. Who are you having then, Price or Dobie?
I'm going to go Gerwin Price as Aston Villa. Had a bit of a glory years. Still sort of dabbling in them, you know, get some success. But at the moment, you don't feel like are going to pick up titles.
Right. Okay. All right, I'll give you that. I mean, it's getting harder now. I mean, my instant one for Dobie is he's Blackpool. He's my team. Never win bugger all.
Blackpool?
Yeah, he's Blackpool. Never win out.
But Bunting's Leicester?
Yeah, no, Dobie's Blackpool. When's he win? He don't win anything.
He won the Masters.
Yeah, I don't count that. Non-ranking. Is that a bit harsh?
I think Blackpool's very harsh, yeah.
That very harsh.
I would say
I'll give him Burnley then. I'm going all North teams, yeah, can you tell?
They could win the Championship though.
Yeah, but they're still going to be bottom of the Premiership next season.
And everyone's a Premier League clubs.
Okay, so if you want a Premier League club, who is Chris Dobie?
I think Dobie is Crystal Palace.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show, isn't it? Yeah. We'll give him Crystal Palace, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's our Premier League of football. I don't know why I wrote them down.
No, I don't. Maybe no.
Maybe for our own reference.
You don't even like normally write anything. No. So to get you to write that down was pretty amazing.
In the comments section, guys, play along. Who's your football?
Can I have my list back now?
And
thanks
also,
very much.
Give us the reasons as well. That would be quite cool.
Yeah, it would. It would. So while I'm on Premier League, because I watched it last week, obviously, they're all doing it again. 1-2-1, starting on the ball.
Mm.
I want you to give me a reason when that's ever acceptable, because I'm looking at it going, if it's to win the leg, it's never acceptable. If it's when your opponent isn't on a finish, it's not acceptable. Can you give me any reason why starting 1-2-1 on the ball is a good way to go?
I think the only way you do is if your opponent's not on a finish, it heightens the chance of leaving a double at the end rather than risking leaving the ball. And I think it eliminates the factor of 61. Where do I go? But I don't personally agree with it in any way, shape or form.
Well, I watched Rob Cross do it the other day and he hit a single six. Hmm. So now he's got 115 left. With two darts, he's trying to set up. He's all over the place trying to set it up. So, yeah, if you hit the 50, you've still got to hit a treble. If you hit the 25, if you're a double 18 hitter, okay, you could argue, well, I love double 18, so 25, 60. But I just, honestly, I sat there for 20 minutes trying to reason any reason why I thought that was the right thing to do. And I could think of starting on 17s would be better, starting on 20s is better. I just can't. So, and you've almost proved my point. You can't really think of a reason why that's a good thing to do. Premier League, Bunting, what's he been doing again, Matt? Because this is your rant time. What's he been doing again this week? He's won a Premier League night. He's won a Euros. Surely he's been doing fantastic exhibitions. And is he playing on his knees or is he throwing through paper or what's he been doing?
He's sung gold. And he didn't even sing gold, right? He played gold and then sang along with it. So you can still hear Spandau Ballet. I bet you're impressed I knew that. You can still hear Spandau Ballet. And he's just singing along to
over the top of it.
Yeah.
So it's not even karaoke, because karaoke, they just play the backing song and you sing the words. It's not even a cappella where you just sing. No, he's just going to sing while the song's playing, like you would in the shower.
This is just that constant problem that we're facing, where players don't understand how to be interesting. So what they do something stupid. I mean, it's developed a little bit. In fact, we're now getting them singing. But before then, I'm going to wear a silly hat. I'm going to wear a silly mask. Look. I'm going to do... That is not... It's not creative.
No, it's not.
It's trend hopping. I mean, that's the other thing. So many players now have started TikTok accounts or social media accounts.
Yeah.
And all they do is they go on there and they go... I'm going to do this filter where I look like I'm falling. I'm going to go on this filter where it looks like I'm being chased by someone with a dagger. I'm going to go on this filter where I rate takeaways. It's trend hopping from trend to trend to trend. It's not relevant. Pack it in.
Yeah, it is. Right, so between us now, we don't do exhibitions. I never did them. You did and probably still do, but we don't do them now. So let's think of five things that we could do now. If we were top 16 players now, somebody's paid us thousands of pounds, come along to an exhibition, I'm going to throw for doubles on my knees because I could do that. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit doubles against players on my knees. What are you going to do?
A couple of things I really love. One, I love the shot through the paper.
Yep.
Love that shot. Looks great. Easy to pull off.
Yep.
It's one of those things. What you want in an exhibition is something that looks really difficult. It's actually quite easy.
Okay.
Because it's the effect.
Yeah.
What you don't want is things that are really difficult but hard to get right, because you're constantly getting wrong, it makes you look silly. Things like double doubles.
Yeah.
Triple doubles. You know, weird sort of quirky shots. The thing that made people go, wow, I did an exhibition down south. I wanted 154. I went 54 ball ball.
Yeah.
And you pull it off and then you leave it. You don't do it again,
absolutely,
then.
Absolutely, I used to throw from 9 feet, so I let the you know, if I'm just messing about down the local, you throw from 7, 9, I'm going to throw from 9. I'm going to stand a foot and a half behind you and throw from, I can actually do it. I had a couple of hours practicing, I can do it because of the way I throw my darts. Again, somebody, right, I'll take you on, mate, but I'm going to throw from 9 feet. It's something a bit different. Through the paper, double-double, on your knees. It's different.
Use your opponent's darts.
Yeah, as opposed to, shall we sing angels? I mean, what? I know we've gone on about it a lot, man. I know you kicked this was your rant, but I've joined in now because it's a flipping joke. And they're charging a lot of money, man.
Wayne Mardle, dart in the mouth.
Poof. Yeah, oh, that's amazing.
You're paid to watch it.
Yeah. Do you want to watch Wayne Mardle hit a treble 20 out of his mouth, or do you want to watch Stephen Bunting sing Gold?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and talking of singing, something I've never asked you.
I'm going to go on one here. Because I'm going to give a shout out here to Mission Zone Alan Souter.
Oh,
who was trending on TikTok very recently because he took out a 50 finish. What he did, I can demonstrate it here. Hopefully I'm in shot.
Okay.
Do you want to go? You go look at the camera, see if I'm in shot.
All right, yeah. We've never done this before, let's try that.
Am I in shot?
You have to just squeeze down a little bit. That's it,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, what he did is he went like this and he threw one dart like that, right? Then he moved over to the hockey that was on the board next to the one he was throwing at, and he took out 50. So the one where he did that, big 18, and then from the side, double 16, from a different hockey. That is a moment. Everyone goes home and goes, I've watched something special.
Yeah.
I've watched something that Auntie Shirley down the dog, she can't do that.
Yeah.
I've watched something I can't physically perform. That is worth the price of admission.
Yeah. And I also know he does a bit of a bullseye game show, and he makes a night entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what an exhibition is. It's not, Phil Taylor was famous for, I just want to beat everybody in the room. Oh, God, that's entertaining, Phil. You know, it's like, that's not why people are paying to go to an exhibition. Otherwise, they'll pay and go and watch the Premier League or the World Championship. They're paying to see something a bit different. They want entertaining. So, yeah.
Bye. The field of which they've gone. If I go, I'm going to Las Vegas. If Penn and Teller are still performing, and I go watch Penn and Teller, and I go in, and they're doing some keepy uppies, I'm not happy. I'll be like, come on, Penn, give us a trick, you know. I don't want to see him do keepy uppies. I don't want him to start doing some artwork and start drawing me. I didn't come for my portrait, Penn. Tell her, get him told. Get some magic done. You know, it's like that.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to the Titanic Museum, I don't want to see the Premier League trophy.
No. No.
I don't want to see Stephen Bunting in there throwing darts.
You want to see?
I've come to see Titanic artifacts.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
If I'm going somewhere, I'm going because I want to see someone perform to incredible heights that I am parting with my price of admission to see something I'm not going to see every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. We've gone on about it a lot, and yet it's still going on. And like you say, it was nice to see Alan Suter trending because he's doing something different.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that he's not a Premier League player. The guy's putting in the effort. Pay your money and go and see him. You're going to have a flipping great night out, aren't you? You're going to come away, like you say, oh, somebody's got the mobile. Oh, God, I can't wait to share this with me, mates. All the lads that play in the team, I'm sharing this. Look at what Alan Suter's just done. As opposed to, here's Bunting singing Gold.
Yeah.
And they're like, I prefer the Spandau Ballet version, really. Just take him off the singing.
No, you got the Spandau Ballet.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Just sung along with
just
it.
Just need to cut him off. So, yeah, it's, and it's not just him, is it? It's not. Do you know what you're holding there?
Well, I was just thinking it's a pen's pop, not.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm holding a pen. What's the reference there? Those of you from the other channel.
You, like, messaged me that.
That is my favourite moment from last series. I'm holding a pen. Yeah, you were. So, staying on darts, and obviously we'll go off darts. I know this is a darts podcast. If you're new to it, we usually go off topic. Who's the player that you would have liked to play and you never did?
I think I played everyone I'd like to.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't think there's anyone I'd like to have played.
So therefore it has to be from a bygone era then?
And I'm going to play ignorance a little bit here to suggest that I always find it hard when you cross generation. Because to me, I don't have the emotional attachment of a Leighton Rees, for example.
Okay.
I can appreciate what he did.
Yeah.
But I don't look at that in a way of going, that's something I wish I could have been involved with because it wasn't my generation.
What about a Bristow or a Lowe or a Bob? You played Bristow. Yeah. Right, so I'm really good at asking you questions that you really haven't got an answer to. I know that's like my perfect to that, because mine was going to be Dennis Priestley. I'd love to play Dennis. I met him in Tenerife, had a beer with him, and apparently he just played players over there, but he didn't have his darts, I didn't have mine, and I just thought, this guy's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I would have loved to have seen what he was like on stage, you know, watching the old games against it. I reckon he'd have been multiple world champion, but for Bristow and Lowe and all that sort of thing. I mean, we can say that about any generation, but I'd have loved to have played Dennis. Is there anybody? So I take it from that then, when you were playing, you played Taylor, you've played Lewis, Anderson.
Yeah. Pete Garrigan's been one.
Peter Wright, Gerwin Price, you played them all?
Yeah.
Yeah,
multiple times. Multiple times.
Any wins against anyone?
Yeah, quite a few.
I know you have, mate. 170 against one of them. Yeah, I thought you might.
First UK Open I qualified for, I beat Michael Van Gerwen, 6-5, double seven.
Ooh, what sticks in your mind then?
Yeah, double seven.
Who are your mates? I know Ryan Searle.
Ryan Searle was my main. I had acquaintances rather than friends.
Because yeah, that's fair.
I looked at it and thought, I could speak to anyone. Yeah. I was friendly with everybody. But at the same aspect, I didn't want to be too familiar with them. Because...
Yeah, you've got to be able to beat them, haven't you?
If you get too familiar, I think that's a bad thing. So I always had a close friendship circle. I used to be very close friends with Steve Hine. When he lost his card, it was me and Ryan Searle. If I was ever to go back, I don't know. It'd probably be... Ryan, that I'd probably be.
It's an interesting one, Matt, because I was looking the other day at all the pro tours that are going on and the amount of mission players that are getting drawn against other mission players. And I know that they all get together, and I know they're not all mates and whatever, but I was thinking, well, we've got about 20 on tour. It's going to happen every day now.
Yeah.
You know, so almost like, yes, you're in the same company. Yes, you know, you might live in the same town, but you don't really want to be best friends because you're going to be drawn against each other all the time, aren't you? And it's really hard to get that needle, isn't it? To really get that...
I did have it.
Right, did you? Even against Ryan?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. And Aaron Beeney was a good friend of mine. And I remember playing Aaron Beans.
What's his nickname? Has he got Bay Beans or something?
That's like a joke shirt he had, yeah.
Oh, was it? Sorry.
Yeah. So Aaron Bean was a good friend of mine, and we played each other down in Modus, and I hit my record average against Aaron Bean in that environment on the Thursday. We played each other on a Friday, and I hit my record average again, beating my own record average, both against Aaron Beany. Oh, so lovely. My top two, and we were sharing a room together. But because we were sharing a room together, I was like, I want to beat Fauna. I'm not having him like beat me and then share a room with him tonight. Like, that's not happening. So it gave me such a kick, and it always happened that way. I think every time I played Ryan, when we were sharing, I think I was beating for that reason. Because I don't want to share a room with someone I've just lost to.
Yeah, you don't want them taking the mick all night.
Yes, exactly. Because there is that little worse. Bit, like,
yeah,
you know.
The banter.
You know, it's like when you go to, we're in a snooker hall now, like, if we were to play pool tonight and we were to play our second game and I won, I'd be like, loser sets them up. You know, those little jabs all the time, they're just like, you know, like when it's at shower time in the morning. Winner should go first, you know. There'd be all those little jabs all the time, and I don't want to be on the receiving end of those. They're all tongue-in-cheek, but, like, I just couldn't deal with that.
Yeah, yeah. So, remember we had Mike Dedecker on? And
he didn't lick a battery.
He didn't lick a battery. That was you. I've got a question for you. You ever stood on a plug?
Yes. not to the point where it's, like, pierced the skin, things like that.
Okay,
I'm going to chuck one. Well, oh, I'll tell you what. Let's go for it.
Hang on a minute. Who stood on a plug? It's the most painful thing you're ever going to do.
We'll chuck questions at each other until we run out.
Okay.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Oh, you've asked me this before.
What would you say?
No.
No. Okay. If you was in a film, would you be the hero or the villain?
The villain. Oh. Yeah, definitely the villain. Yeah, yeah. Okay, then I've got a couple on here for you. Then what are you giving up? You've got to give up one of these two things, meat or confectionery, i.e. chocolate and sweets.
Oh, I'd give it chocolate and sweets.
You would?
Yeah.
Every time I see you, you've got a bar of chocolate in your hand.
Yeah, I'd give it chocolate and sweets. I couldn't live, especially now I'm lifting again. Yeah, I couldn't lift without.
Oh, yeah, you've been flexing. Yeah. He's been flexing his muscles, yeah. It's not bad, that. It's not bad. Yeah, you've even got a green shirt on. You're going to burst out of it later, like the Hulk.
Rip it off. Like
I don't think you're Louis, what was his name? Louis Ferreng?
Literally. As we're doing
what's
that,
his name?
Cameraman's walked in just as we were, as you're doing that bit. So that's probably quite an awkward moment.
He's walked in as I was feeling your arm.
Yes. If you was a movie of the life of Andy Cornwall, who would be the lead actor?
Oh, who's going to play me?
Yeah. I'll go first if you want. Mine would be Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Oh, come on. It's got to be realistic.
Like, what's wrong with it? There's not many differences here between
is
me and
there
the
not?
Rock.
There's no other differences.
Do
between...
Do you need to feel again?
No, I don't need to feel again. Yeah, there's not. I don't think.
Can you see it?
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, but you're straining. I don't think Dwayne needs to do very much other than sit there like that. And it's like, yeah, no.
So The Rock.
The Rock. Right. Okay. Well, then I'll have Matt Damon. Matt Damon's playing me.
Right.
He's cool, good looking, and you know.
Do you know what I thought would...
Chris Tarrant. Yeah, for those of you, somebody's
who
been mentioning
Tintin?
In the in the comments that I have a favouring of Chris Tarrant. So there we go. And he's older than me, which is... You always want somebody... If somebody says, oh, you look like... You always want them to be younger than you, really, don't you? Not like 10 years older. That's not a good look, is it? But that's working with you for
any
a year.
More, any more questions in there?
Yeah, what's your favourite song?
Oh, do you know what? I don't think I've got a favourite song. Yeah, I don't even have a favourite genre.
Everybody's got one.
I don't even have a favourite genre.
Right, I'm going to put the jukebox on now, Matt. What do you want me to put on?
I won't even be bothered. I'm not that bothered about music. To me, music is a reflection of the atmosphere, a reflection of the ambience. So if I'm at the gym, I don't want to be listening to a bit of Leanne Rimes, How Do I Live Without You, do I? But right. I wouldn't mind that.
So what would you have on at the gym then? Motorhead. Is it dance music? Is it rock music? He's getting his playlist out now. God, blimey.
I'll see what I've had on today.
See what we've had on today.
So, I've had, I don't know how to say that one, but it's L'Amour.
So you've had music on that you don't
this
even
one,
know.
That one.
L'amour toujours?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a French word. You're not even good with English words, are you? So.
This is quite... So I've got... I had Rob Van Dam's Walk On music because I had a good sit-down chat with him recently and, like, it just made me want to listen to
you're really inspiring people with this.
Yeah. There's all sorts of different ones. I mean, look, this is the most varied playlist ever. Like, so we've got a bit of Wheatus, Little Respect in there, and then I've got Dream Catch Me, followed by Operation Blade. Right, it's the most random playlist you'll ever see. Taylor Swift, Love Story, followed by Billy Ocean.
Oh, Red Light Spells Danger. I finally found a song that I like.
Followed by How Far I'll Go, you know, the Moana song. And then Poison.
I tell you what, I thought I had some random
Run DMC,
playlists.
Followed by The Whole of the Moon.
Followed by Elvis Presley.
Professor Green.
that is the randomest play. Anyway.
Oh, S Club Juniors, Sundown.
S Club Juniors.
Followed by Linkin Park, Bleed It Out.
Not even S Club 7, S Club Juniors on his playlist. I mean, really.
And Soulja Boy and Linkin Park follow that.
Soulja Boy? There's no way you like Soulja Boy. It's just like, that's the least Matthew Egger song you could possibly pick.
I've got Blazing Squad and the Blackout Crew on here.
It is the most random.
Avril Lavigne.
To be fair, we could make a whole podcast out of this playlist. Some of the stuff on that.
My Chemical Romance.
Coldplay. Sign of the Times. Oh, yeah, not Prince. It's Harry Styles. Oh, my.
Oh, that's a great song, that.
Dear me. Anyway, I like a bit of
Eminem
in
there. Oh, that's one of my favourite ones, actually. From Now On, from The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, I could imagine that musicals and Disney films will be right on your list because you
and
like
that was one
that,
I like as well. Nuzloppy, the JCB song.
Oh, I don't know.
Remember
that
one?
No, I never heard of that. No.
We're holding up the bypass.
Finally got you to sing on the playlist.
You know the one.
No,
great song.
I don't. I really don't. Anyway.
Tell me when you've had enough of
Yeah, I've had enough of it because it's absolute garbage. My favourite songs, Hotel California by the Eagles. Much more sensible answer. We've not had to go through S Club Juniors.
I reckon if you look at Andy's...
Bang, bang. Is that bang, bang, you shoved me down?
No, bang, it's bang, bang, into the room. Oh, right, God. I reckon if you watch Andy's face here while you read this one out, I think he's going to be surprised that's on my playlist, but he's going to like it.
A Certain Shade of Green.
By?
Incubus?
Incubus.
I don't know it. See? Never heard of it.
I knew that'd be an Andy song, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Goes back to the wrestling days, that.
What was your walk-on song again?
For...
You know, Dark.
Roger's Feeder.
Oh, but Roger's Feeder.
And then I switched it to a new song, and then Ross Smith used it, like, a couple of weeks later. So I was like, oh, can't.
Well, when I make my comeback, which is, obviously, we know never happening, but mine's going to be Live is Life by Opus, which was originally meant to Sidlovich, but he changed it, didn't he, to Simply the Best or something. Yeah. I don't know what he... I'm having Live is Life. I love that song. Always makes me feel happy. And they got to get the cloud crapping along. Crapping along? Now, that'd be an interesting walk-on, wouldn't it? The crowd are crapping along instead of clapping along.
Do you know the big problem, though, with this plan?
Yeah.
You need a stage to walk onto.
Yeah. And to get to that stage, you've got to win some games.
Yeah.
That's the big problem. Unless they do an invite. Yeah, unless they do an invite for old gits. Or maybe they do a content creator classic.
Yeah.
And we get on that.
Oh, hang on. Have I got another question here?
I've got one for you. A sport that you've never played that you think you'd be good at. Oh, got you thinking now.
Do you know what, when they say never played, could I have just played it at school?
Well, not if you played it like 50 times, because then you know if you're any good.
Do you know a sport I'd love to do?
I'd just love you to answer any question that I actually ask you.
I would love to play lacrosse.
Right, so we've changed it from sport you've never played that you would be good at to Matt's changed the question to I'd love to play lacrosse. That's far too posh for you. Croquet instead?
I reckon I'd be decent at rugby. I played it at school a little bit.
Okay.
Got called up to the school team, but never
have
really wanted to play.
Have you ever shot, like, clay pigeon shooting?
Not clay pigeon shooting, no, but I've gone rifle shooting.
I think you'd be good at that.
I've gone rifle shooting before. I'll tell you what,
it's the hand-eye thing.
No, true story. I've got a true story. So I took my son shooting.
Right.
And we're in these shooting lanes.
Yeah.
I've got my gun. I've got the sight and everything. And remember, I'm practically blind in this eye. I can't see out of this.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So my sight is actually off quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm shooting. I'm like, poof, poof, done my shot right.
Thanks for the noises. I didn't know what shooting sounded like.
You pull your target back on the reel. I pulled it back. The target's clean. What's going on here?
You've missed it completely.
So I put it back again. Tommy's gone up to do it. Is he shooting it? And then they've pulled the one next to it. I shot the person next to me's target. True story, right? They've pulled it back. And then the guy's gone, Dave, how many bullets are in that gun? And he goes, I've only got an 8 round. And he's like, there's 16 holes in
completely
this.
Completely obliterated.
There's 16 holes in
this. You're shooting his target.
And I'm like, for audio listeners, I blamed my son. I'm like, sorry, it's his first time.
That's harsh.
And I guarantee you, next time you see him, tell it and he'll tell you all about it. He's like, oh, he threw me under the bus. He said it was me. I'm like, blamed him.
Do you know what? I've always wanted to have a go at archery.
Yeah?
Have you ever had a go at that? That looks like fun.
I have. I don't like this. There's a lot of friction to it.
Oh.
Like when you're shooting off. Like I didn't like that.
The sports that you try, absolutely useless. Like, I try water skiing.
Okay, right. I'll tell you what.
Awful at it.
What we'll do, I'm going to assign a sport I think you'd be terrible at. You assign a sport I'd be terrible at.
Yeah.
I think you'd be terrible at MMA. I think you'd get in there, you'd get into the fetal position.
Is that wrestling?
It's like mixed martial arts.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, exactly. You'd get in there. I tell you what, right, here's the thing.
I'd be all right at sumo.
There is no more defining moment in your life and a moment which just consumes your body in a way that you will never understand unless you've done it. And it's the moment you walk into a cage, right, and they close the door and they put the handle across. Because the second, and I watched that every time, and the second that lock went across, you know that the next time that door opens, you've either won or lost. There is nothing that triggers your mind more than watching that moment.
Yeah.
Because when that goes, you're either going to tap someone out, get tapped out, or there's going to be a knockout. There's no other way. So when you see that, I can't describe it. Like, it is such a moment of, like, is it euphoria? Is that the word? Where, like, everything about you just leaves your body. And you feel it happening. Mm. You feel it. Like, you become something. It's weird. It's a weird moment.
I'm going to have to go sport. Can I use a pastime? Has it got to be a sport? Because I've got a pastime to come straight to me. I think you'd be terrible at chess.
I'm not too bad at chess. I know what everything does.
All right, then. In which case, my second choice was snooker.
Oh, I'm terrible at snooker.
Oh, I've got that one right. I think, because I'm trying to think of games that you need patience.
Yeah.
So there's one thing you're lacking in is patience. Like golf. Matt, should we go for a game of golf? How long is it going to take? 4.5 hours. Get me out of 4.5 hours. You're joking. I can get up Everest and K2 in 4.5 hours. No, I'm parachuting down. That's you, isn't it? He's like,
I mean, I've done Andy's head in a lot actually recently because, like, when we're trying to plan this year, there's so many things. So next February, we'll do. And you're like, Matt, it's April.
We've got a list of 100 things to do between now and January, and you're talking about next February. And you're wondering why, I've got a bit, mental. So, my final biggie for you was you can do one of these two things. You can play in the world final against any player you want, or you can be in the ring on finals day of WrestleMania.
I don't think you understand how WrestleMania works, do you?
No.
None.
No. No clue. No clue. Absolutely zero. Have I just asked like an impossible question?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, all right, let's just say you're involved in WrestleMania or you can play in the world final. You can get in the ring with any wrestler of your choice.
I would, nowadays, I'd take the WrestleMania.
And who would you get in with?
And the reason is because in those 10 to 12 minutes, I would be able to be creative in a way that I could make something I would be proud of, where the other is a live sporting event. Where, I mean, it's probably quite negative to say, like, you might not do yourself proud, or, you know, it'd be an amazing experience. But on the other hand, I've already experienced that as well. Not the world final, but the world championship stage.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, so you've already played in front of a lot of people.
And it's very restrictive. All I'm going to do is throw darts, take them out. That's pretty much it. I've not got an opportunity to be creative to make something where people haven't seen that before. People have seen 100 average before. They've seen a 90 average. They've seen 105. You know, the only differentiation there is what standard do you play? And with the wrestling, there's so much more I could do. And there's so much that you could be creative with and make something that people go, that's the first time I've ever seen that.
Right. Something I've thought about since last week's podcast. Something you mentioned, and I've thought about it since, and I think you might be onto something. We were talking about playing left-handed and right-handed, because we got into talking about some people were left-handed and that sort of thing. And the question that gets asked a lot is, what happens after Luke Littler? Because we've had Phil Taylor, 100 averages. We've had Luke Littler come along. He's hitting 9 darts like it's ridiculous, 100 averages. What's the next level? I don't think it's somebody coming along averaging 115 every time they play. I think it's somebody that can play with both hands.
I think it could be one of three things.
Okay.
Both hands.
All right.
Quality female player like Beau Greaves, who could legitimately compete at the top 16 level.
Okay.
Someone like that. We've had good women players before who could compete roughly with it, but no one you could go, they could be a major champion. So that's there. And the other thing is somebody who is beyond the realms of darts entertainment. So somebody who changes the game, someone who understands hooks, someone who understands cameraing positions, someone who understands how to make an entrance. I'm not just going to walk on stage, throw my arms out.
So you're going to like a wrestler, but with the darts ability.
Somebody who, if you won't know, I'll show you this later and the viewers, some of them might know. Someone like Finn Balor, right? Finn Balor does his walk-on.
Love the name. Great name.
He does his walk-on, and at a certain point in his song, he throws his arms up, and everyone knows at that point of the song, Finn Balor is going to throw his arms up, he'll turn around and do the same. And as he does that, the house lights go up, and everyone in the audience is going with him.
All right.
The second we get that, darts go somewhere else. The second we get to the point where I know how to interact with the performer and to join in with this moment that we can all share together as a crowd member and with the performer, that's when we're laughing. But at the moment, there is no way that I can relate to the talent other than when they go, let's get louder. I can't hear you.
All right, so a couple of questions out of that then. How big can darts get, Matt?
So until we get that bit, it's capped.
Okay. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I think for me, one of the big countries has to get involved. So it's either got to go America, China, or Russia. It's got to become their number one sport. And then it goes mental. We're forgetting how big darts is now, it's still predominantly the UK, Matt.
Without,
there's only 60, 70 million people here.
How do you get into America where they've got travelling shows like the WWE, the wrestling, that's this big performance, I can go and enjoy it and relate with the characters, this thing where I feel a bit awkward watching this player like throw his arms out.
But I can play darts at home. I can't wrestle at home. So the sports to compare there are different markets, I think.
But you're talking there about relatability.
It's a bit.
And how much do you need to be on relatability to the fact that I find that relatable and that's something that's just not achievable? I'm going to watch something extra special. I go to the circus because I'm going to watch people do things that I just physically cannot do.
Yeah. I'm just thinking from the.
And if I go to the circus, I don't want to see no roly-polies. No. Because I can do a roly-poly.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the genre like, in America, I can see why soccer, our football, hasn't taken off. They've already got baseball, American football, basketball. You know, huge things that they already follow. Why should they be interested in soccer? They've got all that. But what has America got as a home sport? Something that everybody can have a go at home. I can't think of anything. So there's a massive market there. And it doesn't have to be America. It can be China, Asia, it can be Russia. one of these huge countries that have got billions of people. You know, but could it happen?
Then do you rely on patriotism? Because to be honest, like, I don't really care where a player comes from. It don't bother me. How patriotic would they be in something that they're not too bothered about? Like, let's say, for example, England went and won whatever the equivalent of the World Championship is in tennis. I wouldn't be bothered, because I'm not bothered about tennis.
Yeah, you're not bothered about tennis.
And I'm not overly patriotic.
So I think you need bigger rivalries.
But, actually, I can tell you one snooker incident, and that was that, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. I can hear it in my head, but I don't know if I can say it. And he did the interview. And in the interview, he was like, "Congratulations, me!" And he was like, it was a great interview.
Oh, okay.
And that made me interested in him individually.
Oh, okay.
And that's what we need. We need somebody who you're going to be interested in, and that's good or bad. It's got to be, I'm interested in him because I find him something I can engage with, and I like watching him play. Or I think he's an absolute belmont and I want him to lose.
So
it works both ways.
Something we talk about a lot, the strength of English players and the World Cup. I like it as an event. I look forward to it just because it's the only one of its kind. But let's be realistic. We do this a lot on the channel. We take apart darts tournament. How could we make them better? There's only four or five teams in the World Cup can win it. So you start off with 30 teams, but there's only five can win it. There's no way Latvia can win it. There's no way Finland can win it. Gibraltar, it cannot happen, right? You know, so change it. Let's have a tournament, Britain versus the rest of the world. So in golf, you've got Europe versus America, the Ryder Cup. Probably the biggest tournament in golf, comes along once every 4 years and gets an unbelievable amount of people watching it worldwide. So it grows the game both sides. Why not have Great Britain, team of 10, against the 10 best players from the rest of the world, and create a rivalry? And then you might get the number one player from America, he's in the team. The number one player from Finland, he's in the team. You know, you've got these 10 from around the world. Would that excite you to watch that or not?
Me, no.
Would it not?
No, I wouldn't give a damn.
Because you're not that patriotic about...
No, I don't care about where a player's from. I just want to see players play to the best of their ability. I don't care where you're from.
Right.
So that don't interest me. All I ever see it as is it's a world system.
Yeah.
Just be top of that. It doesn't matter if you're from Finland, Iceland, England, you know, it's...
And I know we talked last week about it's difficult for... You might have a phenomenal player in New Zealand, but it's very difficult for them to join the tour. And there's got to be some great players in America, surely. It's that vast. There's got to be somebody playing in his garage now that's thinking, I'm not bad at this, but I've no way of getting into it. You know, I'm not going to go and relocate to England. I like living in Florida where the sun's shining every day, you know.
Do you believe in aliens?
Right, yes and no. So, do I believe in there's other beings from other worlds? Absolutely,
but not
yes.
A little green man.
But not a little green man in a spaceship that flew past last night. Did you see him? Yeah, yeah, he's flown here from 20 billion light years away, but he thought, I'll make myself visible. I haven't got invisibility yet. No, absolute nonsense. There was that thing in the sky, wasn't there, a couple of weeks ago, and they're all, was that over Birmingham? Did you see it?
No.
Yeah, there was some big thing came through the sky, big light, and it looked like an S coming through the sky. Those people have filmed it. You have to go on YouTube and have a look.
Do you think that maybe there's a chance that somewhere there's a similar conversation going on right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the universe is infinite, isn't it?
It's virtually impossible, isn't it?
Yeah. When you start listening, that is one of my favourite things, is to listen to, is he called Brian Cox? He used to be a singer we're talking about. He was in Heaven 17, I want to say. Brian Cox was in Heaven. I think that's the thing. And when you listen to him talking about how big the Milky Way is, how big the universe is, it's impossible for anybody to imagine. So therefore, there has to be something else going on somewhere, but it's that far away. Are we on conspiracy? Are we on weird stuff? Because I've come up with one this week. You know, when you're sat on the sunbed thinking about all this. Right, I've got
weird
one for
stuff
you this
and you,
week.
I think, really works out.
No, I've got one for you this week. Right, so let's
just check we've got time for it still. We've got about 5 minutes.
So let's just imagine in the year 1925, we've just come out of war. We're only just about got cars. I think maybe the first aeroplane's just about flown. Most people are still travelling around on horseback. Right, think about how the world was in 1925 compared to now with the internet, AI, going to space. Like 100 years, we've gone from, we don't really know how we're going to get about. What, a rocket? Like, it's 100 years, it's gone crazy. But yeah, we're going to say 2 million years ago, we were walking around with dinosaurs. What? But we hadn't... So it took us 2 million years to invent a bloody motor car, but yet in the next 100 years, we can send people to space. That's nonsense. I don't think we were here then. I think we're like a couple of thousand years old.
Okay, I've got a theory on this.
All right.
I've got a theory that we originate from somewhere like Mars... Because apparently it could be habitable, couldn't it? Okay. Things. And I think we messed it up. So we messed it up and relocated here. And then we had to start rebuilding everything again. And I think once we mess this place up and we've got it up to the point where we've global heating and everything, and we've ruined
global heating. That could be a new company, that. Come knocking on your door. We're from global heating.
I think we'll go somewhere else. And I think at the moment, the reason we've got this thing where we can fly elsewhere is because this planet has a time zone before we destroy it again.
Love it. That sounds like a really good
thought.
And
when you get to this said planet, you're not going to be able to transfer everyone who understands how to make this stuff, are you, to the planet? So by the time you get there, you've got to rediscover all this infrastructure again and start it all over again.
Do you think we'll still be here?
I mean, we're not going to last that long.
No. So I don't really care. So on that note, thanks for watching the Mission Darts podcast, where Matt and Andy tell you their conspiracy theories every week. No, thanks again for watching, guys. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. We'll be back next week with episode 37. We're heading nearer and nearer to that 50. Matt's still reading through the list of topics that we've already done. So thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.